We're doing things a little bit differently by starting with the sermon. And we have been going through our series of Genesis, and we started with creation, and we know that there's 7 days of creation, and we're in the seventh week, so it's only appropriate that we cover the seventh day of creation today. And so we need to remember that there's two accounts of creation, mostly in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. There's a little bit of overlap, so this part of Genesis 2 is finishing up the first account of the creation. So let's read these verses here. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now, one of the deceptive parts of this verse is the word rest. When we hear the word rest, we are more focused on being tired and needing a period of time to recover. Right? So I get home from a long day at work. What do I want to do? Kick off my shoes, sit on my couch, and rest. If you've been with the grandkids all day, you might need a day of rest to recover from that. We understand what it means to rest in our understanding, but we need to be clear that God was not tired. God does not get tired. God did not need a nap from creating. God simply chose to stop working. So the word rest here, there's either rest or work. You're either working, a state of working, or a state of not working. That's what this word rest here means. There are two main Hebrew words used for the word rest in the Bible. The Hebrew word used in this passage is Shabbat, which gets partially translated into the English word that we understand as Sabbath. So what is Shabbat? This word, as I said before, means to just stop working. Like if you're an hourly employee, Danny clocks in at Sullivan's and he clocks out. And when he clocks out, he's done working. And there's no more work until he clocks back in. So since God did not need a day to recover, he didn't need to put his feet up and rest, what was God doing? God was setting a standard that would later become integrated into the law and culture of the Israelites. God made this a special day, a day to be remembered as holy. And God wants us to be in the habit of stopping our work and setting aside time to be with him. Now, before we move to the Ten Commandments, I want us to look at the other Hebrew word for rest. The other main Hebrew word that gets translated as rest is in the Hebrew scriptures is nuachach. Nuachach. I'm trying to say that right. This means to dwell or settle. This is not the same type of rest as stopping work abruptly, like clocking out from an hourly job. This type of rest is like sitting in front of a fire with someone you love, or unpacking your suitcase to stay at grandma's house for the holidays, right? To settle in, to sit and to relax, to dwell in a moment. And this word is used on day 6 of creation when we see from Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden. This phrase, put him, is actually the word nuach. God creates humans, then immediately rests them or settles them, nuach, in the garden with him. God dwelled in the garden of Eden, and he put man there to dwell with him. And so when you look at the literary structure here, there's a link between the concept of Shabbat and Nuach. God leads by example as he rests from work, Shabbat, and then dwells, Nuach, with his people. And that is what connects us to the Ten Commandments. We go to Exodus 20, verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male or female servant nor your animals nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. And here man is told to stop, clock out, stop doing your ordinary work, remember the Creator. Remember creation. Remember the Creator, this God, our awesome God who created everything in 6 days. Remember how God put man in the garden to dwell with him on the sixth day. Then on the seventh day, God stopped working. And God blessed this day as a day to set aside, to rest, to dwell, to settle with God, a day to honor God. And for many Jewish people, they still honor that today. From sunset Friday evening to sunset Saturday is their Sabbath. Now, for centuries, the Israelites had trouble with the Sabbath. There were times of disobedience where the Sabbath wasn't honored, and times where the nation of Israel properly kept the tradition of stopping work and honoring God. And at the time of Jesus, you might say that many Jews were overzealous for keeping the Sabbath. The Jews had laws about laws for keeping the law of the Sabbath. Even today, there are Jews who believe you cannot push the button to the elevator to go up because that is work. I'm telling you, they had laws about laws. If I go from here to my office, that might not be work, but if I walk from here to go to the mailbox, that's work. I mean, they were overzealous. They wanted to keep the Sabbath so holy, so right, that they had to make up extra laws to define what was work and what wasn't work. And you see, for many Jews, it was no longer about honoring God. Keeping the Sabbath became a means of pride, a means of honoring themselves by showing others just how well they kept the laws. Look at me. I'm better. I'm better than Jim because I didn't work and he did. He broke the Sabbath, I didn't. Did you see him? He went outside to his yard and he picked up some limbs off the ground. Oh, that Jim. He doesn't know how to keep the Sabbath. That's not honoring God. That's me honoring me for being better than somebody else. And that brings us to the New Testament. Matthew 12. It says, at the time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. Now, you have to be hungry to do this. I've gone through a wheat field and scraped off some chaff and ate some of the seeds. Let me tell you, bread's a lot better. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. Look at them. Your own disciples don't know how to keep the Sabbath. What kind of rabbi and teacher are you? And the Pharisees think they have Jesus trapped. We caught Jesus breaking the law. But here Jesus, in typical fashion, says the things that Jesus says. He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priest. Or haven't you read in the law that the priest on the Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent?" Jesus says, "Hey guys, what about when David did it?" You know, King David, our big King David, God let him do that. God said it was okay. And what about the priest who worked the temple on the Sabbath, right? They're doing work to receive your tithe, to receive your sacrifices, to take care of your offerings, to take care of your sacrifices. What about them? They're working on the Sabbath, aren't they? Isn't there an exception for them? In verse 6, he says, "I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words means, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Now this is full of deep meaning. Now remember, Jesus, as the Son of God, is God, right? The Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is God. And remember that Jesus was present at creation. John's gospel reminds us that all things were made through him, and without him nothing would be made. Jesus was there at creation. He was there for the very first Sabbath. And to top it off, verse 9 says, "Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. And looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' And he said to them, 'If any of you has sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? Well, how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.' Then he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other." Jesus blasted them about how they observed the Sabbath. He says, "You've forgotten about grace and mercy and love. You've forgotten about honoring God, about stopping and dwelling and being with him." And if we really want to understand this better, right ahead of this incident, we go back to Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, for the average Jewish person at this time, they were overwhelmed by the temple laws. Not overwhelmed by scriptural law, but they were overwhelmed with the law about the laws about the laws. It was work to keep the Sabbath. Isn't that ironic? They had to work hard to not violate the not working. Does that make any sense? And Jesus is telling them, "Listen, you've got it wrong. You made the Sabbath about not working when the Sabbath is about being with God." Now, today, as Christians, we are not under Jewish law. That doesn't mean we throw out the Ten Commandments. That doesn't mean we throw out all of these things. But we have to understand what Sabbath means for us today. Because Sabbath is the same but different. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we are to dwell with God all the time. And He has called us to be purposeful about stopping and dwelling with Him. Because let's face it, we all have things we do, right? Some of us still work. I know some of you are retired, but I know most retired people are busier than they when they were working. Because you're making doll clothes and you're doing this and you're doing that and you're working, right? Those doll clothes just didn't happen by accident, did they? God says to stop. Stop. And look to your Creator. And dwell with your Creator. Connect. And if you want rest, come to me. Because I don't know about you, I need rest. Social media and our news and everything else is beating us up. I don't know about you, does anybody have family that is problem-free? Is there anybody here that doesn't have a friend or family member facing a health crisis? Is there anybody here who doesn't have to have some kind of budget where they have to worry about tomorrow's bills and the next day's bills and the next day's bills? By the way, if you're not one of those people, we need to talk about your tithing. But don't we all have something to worry about? Don't we all have things that are weighing on us? You know, I'm so grateful. My children have to endure things through school that I never had to endure. It's hard. It's difficult. Life is work. And God says, stop. Stop. And spend time with me. Listen to me. Learn from me. And get your rest. And that's why we did the sermon first. Because when we come here to worship, we are to be here together, dwelling with God. We are come here to learn, to be refreshed, to be renewed, to be reconnected, to be reprioritized. Is this life about me or is this life about God? Because Jesus told these Pharisees, it's no longer about God. It's about your laws, your rules, your burdens, and all the yoke that you're putting on these people. And Jesus says, take off the yoke of that stuff and do it my way. Spend time with me. What is Sunday worship for you? Because I'm going to tell you something. If Sunday worship is not moving and powerful for you every week, blame yourself. Because I'll tell you right now, I probably spend anywhere from 12 to 16 hours on average every Sunday to be ready for this moment. Martha spends hours with me preparing for this moment. So if you're not getting something out of it, it's not because we're not trying. If you're not getting something out of it, it's because of your refusal to get something out of it. And so I'm going to tell you a trick. When you pull into that parking lot and you turn that car off and you unbuckle your seatbelt, before you open that door, I want you to say a prayer. And I want you to say, God, I want to be with you today. I want you to say, God, let me hear the words that you have for me today. And if, God, those words are not here for me today, may those words bless the person they were intended for. Lord, may this service be a blessing to all who come. Lord, may our hearts be open to the Holy Spirit so that we can be filled, so that we can feel His presence and dwell with God together. And if you spend 30 seconds to a minute praying to God before you even come into this door, I promise God will start to change how you worship. Because when worship stops being about you and starts being about God, priorities become right. And you open yourself up to receive what God has to give you today and every day. I'm not Billy Graham, I know that. It may not be your favorite hymns today. It may not be done in the time that you want it to be done. But who put a clock on time dwelling with God? At the end of it, we should be going, it's over? Really? I want more time with God, more time with each other. I want more love, more joy, more praising. More healing, more nourishment. Give me more, God. I can't wait till we come back together again, where we set aside time together to worship and to love and to be renewed, to stop and dwell with God. So we're going to spend a few seconds here. I'm going to have you close your eyes, and I want you to spend a moment of reflection or prayer and think about what you expect out of the rest of this worship. Heavenly Father, prepare our hearts today. Allow us to stop. Stop worrying. Stop thinking. Stop planning. Just stop. And allow us to dwell in the presence of your Holy Spirit together. Lord, our worship should never be routine. Lord, yes, we embrace familiarity. We embrace the things that we do for very good reasons. But all too often, we don't stop. And we don't dwell. Lord, may your Holy Spirit move among us as we continue to honor you through music and through Scripture. This we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.